Praise God. I appreciate so much His mercy and His presence with us. I believe that God desires to do something special for His people in a time that is growing increasingly dark, where we're going to need Him like we've never needed Him before. But I am confident, and I believe He wants us to be confident, that He is with us and will be with us to the end of the age, and that He doesn't want us to face life full of fear, full of uncertainty, full of all the things the devil wants to minister to us, but He wants us to have a peace and a rest. I had a, last night we talked a whole lot about, what did we talk about? Praise God. Being wholehearted, yes, this is very connected to that. And I had a scripture come to me toward the end of the service, but I didn't feel like it was time for me to get up. And I believe the Lord ended the service exactly the way He wanted to, don't you? Yeah, He did it. And that's what we want. We want Him to lead and to direct what we say and who says it. And it isn't about personalities. It's about the one personality we worship. You know, if He isn't here, we're just practicing religion. We need Him to be a resident Lord over His body, ministering to us out of His heart and the Father's will. And that's my desire. But anyway, I just was thinking about this, and it really does connect to what was said, and it's a very familiar scripture in Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28. But I'm praying that the Lord will just make it fresh, make it relevant to where we're at, because there's a need. I mean, we can affirm scriptures like this all we want to and sing about them and say they're wonderful and praise God that this is true. And unfortunately, it doesn't often connect to our daily lives the way God wants it to. Jesus said these words, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I don't think if I were to ask a question, how many of you have just gone through today with perfect peace in your heart? There's just been a deep rest and nothing has troubled that rest or interfered with it at all. It's just been awesome. And I don't think I would get any hands. So I dare say we need some of what Jesus is talking about here in a practical sense. He desires to bring us to a place where we can have a peace regardless of what is going on in our lives, regardless of what's going on around us. Now, how many of you believe that Jesus, in His earthly life, given all that came against Him from the devil, from the people, and ultimately His own crucifixion, how many of you feel like He went around with a feeling of anxiety and what's going to happen and I don't like this and it shouldn't be that way? And yet every single one of us deals with that, don't we, in one degree or another. You know, I was thinking about this. There's so much you could bring out, and I'm just trusting the Lord to emphasize what He wants to emphasize, to make it fresh. But you know, one word jumped out to me. Now, the first place, you know, we asked last night, what does the Lord want from us? And this might be an answer to a question, what does the Lord want for us? What does He desire that we experience? What does He want to give us? And we could say, oh, He wants to take me to heaven someday, He wants to forgive my sins, and all of that's true. But I mean, from a functional, practical, this is the characteristic of my life. What does He want for us? I would say, wouldn't you say that this is a pretty good picture right here? Yeah. Come to me. And the word that jumped out at me as I was beginning to think about this is all. Now, all, of course, it is qualified by those who are weary and burdened, but I mean, it's not qualified by anything else. It's not limited to the worthy. It's not limited to people who haven't done this or that, or this is wrong with them or that's wrong with them. This is just all who are weary and burdened. I dare say that would apply in some measure to everyone here. we carry burdens in our lives. You know, we mentioned last night the scripture about casting all your cares, your anxieties upon Him, because He cares for you. And, you know, I keep, every time I use this scripture, I have this picture in my mind from the old Dick Van Dyke Show. And I know I've used this many, many times before, but he was a master of physical comedy. Still is, I guess. He's still around. But he would walk out of the room in that show, and his wife would be telling him to put something down. Maybe that was the scenario. And so he'd put it down, and he'd walk out, and then his arm would reach back and grab it and walk right out with it in perfect harmony. But, you know, we don't do it quite as a comedy routine, but the reality is we bring our anxieties to the Lord, and then we take them away with us, and we just go right on. Okay, I cast them upon you. But if you cast them upon Him, it means you're not carrying it anymore. It's His now. How many times have you found the faith to have a real situation and a need, and somehow the Lord helped you to bring it to Him, and then to walk away and saying, Lord, it's your job now. This is what you told me to do. I gave it to you. This is your battle, not mine. I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I'm going to go on about my business. Man, that's a place that God desires to bring us to. Is that not what His Word says? Do you think He gets joy out of watching us carrying life's burdens and being anxious and angry and all the emotions that we carry? Of course He doesn't. And yet, you know, you see this verse. We've often heard this used, and I think it's an accurate way to use it, that coming to Him to find rest is about salvation. Learning from Him is the Christian life. Well, if I could honestly say that I never have a burden and I never have a care, then I don't need the first part of the verse, right? Yeah, we all need it. Yes, it's true that there is a salvation rest, because if you are looking, if anybody who hears this is looking for a place of rest and satisfaction out of this world, you're an idiot. Excuse my language. You're a fool. You're blind at worst. You ain't going to get it here. You know, we are in a world that is at war with its creator, that is built on self and self-seeking. There is no way to ever acquire anything resembling real peace in the heart. If you're living for yourself and what you can get out of this world, you might acquire a pleasant emotion for a short season, but it's going to be gone, and then you'll feel more empty than ever. Oh my God, if there's somebody here who's in that place and you're still on the fence and you haven't really made up your mind, this is God's invitation to you. Isaiah described the people of the world, and he said, there's no rest for the wicked, no peace for the wicked. There's no way to find, to fill the empty place, that the void that God put in the human heart. He didn't make you to live for self. You weren't designed for that. And when we do it, it's just like using something in the world and for a purpose for which it wasn't designed. It isn't going to work out. God longs to give peace to the human heart. And as long as his direction is this way and you're going this way and trying to find some way to fill that void, you will never, ever do it. Until you come and you lay every bit of your life at His feet and say, it belongs to you, it no longer belongs to me. You will never have peace. Oh, the peace that comes from being reconciled with God. Only Jesus' blood, as we've sung tonight, only that can erase the sins that have separated you from a holy God. Oh, praise God that we have a basis because of what Jesus did, for He could give such an invitation. Come to me, I have the power to give you peace. I can make your heart so free as if you had never, ever sinned. Praise God. Praise God. Our guilt can be gone. That's what the gospel offers. But you don't get it if you're hanging on to this and hanging on to that. There's got to be a surrender. You've got to come to Him with a free and open heart. Obviously, you can't come and bring your burdens and hang on to them and expect what He's talking about here. God wants to give you and me rest. But oh, it's the same principle when we find ourselves in those places. God longs for us to take advantage of the simplicity. I mean, we talked last night about how simple all of this really is. Isn't this simple? You're running in your own strength. You're reacting like a person out of the world. Is your human nature in charge from a practical standpoint? Be honest about it. If it weren't your human nature, what is it? It's not Jesus. Oh, it's that bad devil. Yeah, but you're listening to him. God, Jesus had to deal with a bad devil too. A whole lot worse than we did. And yep, there was a peace. Where did he get that peace? What is that peace? What is it really? It's peace with God. It isn't a place of just personal, self-centered satisfaction somehow. This is coming into a place of harmony with our Creator, where we're willing to surrender to the purpose for which He made us in the beginning. Only He can do that. I'll tell you, when we come to that place of surrender and faith, we have peace with God, as Paul said so plainly. Do you have that? Oh, praise God. Praise God. Boy, I'm in need of this. I mean, every single day there's something. There's something that gets to me. But you know where? I'm trying to think how to say this. But the thought very distinctly came to me last night that virtually everything that robs us of our peace, robs us of our rest, is because of something in us. Don't you go pointing your finger at somebody else in your life and say, it's their fault. If only they would stop annoying me, then I would stop being annoyed. Well, is that how Jesus handled it? Did he try to rearrange his environment and the people that he was around to straighten up and fly right so he could have a peaceful life? That's not what it's about, folks. God wants to give you a peace that will stand strong in the storm, and there will be storms. The reality is, if we're not at peace, there's something here that God needs to set us free from. It's that simple. That's why Jesus said, take my yoke. Yes, we need to come to him, be willing to lay it all down. But we got stuff to learn. We think we know so much. We think, you know, we have so many ways of identifying the source of our trouble, and it's always out there somewhere. And God says, this is what I want to fix. I want you to have my peace. And do you think I'm enjoying watching you go around in a stew all the time, upset about this and upset about that and struggling and fear and everything else but peace? Everything else but rest? Oh, he longs to teach us. We just don't want to be taught. That's the problem. We don't like it. And we're so quick when God does something in our lives to try to bring something to our attention that he wants to set us free from. Man, we are good at, like I said, at pointing the finger and complaining to him about that person and how they're annoying us and whatever, you know. It goes on and on. You could apply this to every kind of emotion, every kind of situation. But the reality is, God's looking in here. And he's putting his finger. That's why I need to walk with him. I need to have a walk with Jesus every day. Yoked to him. There's a connection that I'm not going to walk away from. You know, one scripture I thought about was from Paul's testimony. I believe it was the third time he gave, well, you have the account of his conversion when Jesus met him on the road, revealed himself to him, and then he tells the Jewish Sanhedrin in chapter 22, I think, of Acts. 26, I think he's talking about to a Roman ruler, or a ruler anyway. And in that particular occasion, he said, "The voice said to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard to kick against the pricks,'" is what it says in the King James, or the goads, or the, you know, any, what do they call it now, what they have? Yeah, anyway. Whatever it is that they, you know, you stick in a horse to make him go that way. Well, Paul's life was defined by such a strong religious self-will that even God himself, or Jesus himself, couldn't prick him to make him go this way. He was going to go this way, come hell or high water. But we are the ones who make our own trouble. Ooh, don't tell me that. We are the ones who make trouble for ourselves by the way we react to the things that God designs and allows in our lives. Just let that sink in. Quit blaming the stuff that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whenever. Stop blaming the people in your life. You look in the mirror and say, "I'm the one." Jesus experienced a lot more than you and I did. How did he handle it? Oh, yeah, but he was the Son of God. Yeah, he was a man, too. He came down to experience every temptation, everything that we experience. Did he not? Thank God he showed us what it's like to do that without sin. Thank God for the Lamb, the spotless Lamb. Praise God. But he doesn't just say, learn from, I'm going to give you a course in this. I'm going to teach you the concepts, and then you go out and do it. Learn from me. How did he do what he did? There was not just a union with the Father in the sense that he agreed with him. He did that. That's a key right there. We fight God so many times in our lives. He's trying to do something. We're fighting him. We don't even realize we're fighting him because we think we're right. And he doesn't have any right touching that. Or it's not really him or something. You know, it was some excuse to deflect. But see, not only was Jesus in complete agreement with his Father about everything, that's a pretty good prescription for peace, isn't it? He was in agreement with the Father, but he was dependent upon the Father, because the reality is, even we know what to do, we don't have the power to do it. God wants us to take that place. It does something in us that nothing else can do. You can get people to be religious and proud of it. But for us to take a lowly, humble, dependent, needy, the only hope that I can have is mercy, that is as contrary to human nature as you can get. But that is what salvation is about. Do we want to enjoy what Jesus is so freely offering to all? This is how it happens. And I just pray that God will burn this truth into my heart, because it's so simple, but it's so hard. We are so stubborn. We fight so hard is the way we think it's supposed to go. God, we got to go this way. What are you taking me this way for? Why don't you fix this? You know, we can get where Paul got. How many times have we used the scripture where the devil began tormenting him and he went to God about it? God, get rid of this guy. And finally the Lord said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul saw that there was a reason God had allowed that. And what did he do? He said, "All right, I'm not happy about it." No. Thank God for what you're doing. God, I get it. Because my heart is to agree with you, to be useful to you. If this is what it takes, then okay, Lord, I get it. Man, do you see Jesus in pictured in that as well? You think about the Son of God. You think about somebody who was there with the Father before the world was, before there was any such thing as a creation. A glorious, divine Son of God, speaking galaxies into existence, and now there he is on earth, dependent upon his Father for everything. What a place he took. And his life is characterized by what he said, I am gentle. Think about how he treated the people around him and how they treated him. And yet there was this gentleness, this compassion. They saw God in him. It was real. It was alive. I'm gentle and humble in heart. Does that describe you? I don't think it describes any of us very well. We are proud and stubborn. See, I got somebody here who agrees with me. I know you all do. You all should. Because it's the truth, isn't it? Oh, God, do we have stuff to learn to get to this place where we can just let go? Aren't you glad God doesn't dump it all on us at once? Oh, my. But, you know, if we are just willing to get what Jesus is saying here, the simplicity of it, to get up in the morning and look to him and say, my place today is not to figure it all out. It's not to chart my course. It's not to do all the stuff that the world tells us to do, or my own nature drives me to do, or just to seek this because I like it, or I want it, or I think I should go this. God, I give you a blank check. Lead me. Do what is needed in me today. Open my eyes to my own needs. Open my eyes to where I'm not being gentle and humble in heart. Because that's the big, great need that we all have. Every single one of us needs to come to a place. Praise God, where we can just let go and find rest for our souls. I believe there are saints of God in history that have come to a deeper place than most of us. And you read their testimonies and you will discover that in every case it was a surrender. It was coming into a perfect alignment, a more and more perfect, let me put it that way, alignment with the Father's will, where we have a heart that trusts him enough to say, God, I don't know what is right or best for me, and you do, and I'm giving you a blank check. Work in me. Help me to surrender issue by issue and learn from you how to handle life so that I can be this kind of a person. This is what you long for me. What am I fighting for? My way. And some of us are more stubborn than others, but we all are stubborn in our own ways. Oh, God, give us the grace to let go and have what he offers. I was thinking of the scripture. We preached three different messages on one time where God, well, let me look over it. It's in Isaiah 26, promise of God. You will keep in perfect peace. And the Hebrew there says, peace, peace. You will keep in peace, peace, those whose minds are steadfast. We don't go this way and go that way based on our feelings and how things look. There's a steadfastness. There's a consistency. Lord, I don't care whether I'm on the mountain or I'm in the valley. I'm trusting you. That's where I'm headed. I want you. I want your will, period. There's a steadfastness. It doesn't bend with the wind. Doesn't react to every little thing, everything that goes wrong that we don't like. Those whose minds are steadfast, why? Because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. Man, you want a rock? You think we're going to need a rock in this world? You don't see it. It's so close to coming apart that all God would have to do is say the word and everything would collapse in our society and the world. We were talking today at lunch. It's a house of cards, folks. I'm not saying that to make people feel afraid. But the reality is we have no security in this world except him. You want to face the stuff in this world without him? You're pretty blind if that's the way you feel. May God open eyes. But I want to be one of these that comes to him with these burdens and realizes this is not how he wants me to live. It could be a hard heart of self-will. It could be a reaction to somebody. It could be fear. Fear is a burden people carry. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. He doesn't want us to sit here and be in a state of anxiety about what's going to happen to me. Praise God. We ought to be able to say with Paul, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." What do you lose if you die? Paul says it's gain. Man, that's a ticket out of here. I'll tell you, there's plenty of times, you know, getting a little older, you start thinking, oh my God, how long do I have to live in this place? Part of me just says, God, take me on. I want out of here. There's nothing here. I mean, you're young, you don't realize a lot of things, but you get a little older and you see the vanity of this world. And especially if you see it at all with God's revelation. God wants us to see clearly through his eyes so that we can walk with him and learn from him. But you know, as long as we're here, there are going to be people who are going to have to stand in this darkness and this storm. We're going to need him. We're going to need exactly what Jesus said. Yes, there may be times we'll fight battles. We may have to go and say, Lord, if there's any way I can get out of this, take it from me. Take this cup from me. But the bottom line has always got to be, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If that is the bedrock conviction of our hearts, and it's not just a religious saying that we have, but it's something that God has birthed in here, man, you've got what you need. Do you happen to notice that when Jesus prayed, got done praying that, what happened? You remember? Angels came and did what? Strengthened him. You know, what did Isaiah say about the fact that we do get weary sometimes? But those who hope are those who rest in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Different translations. Anyway, those who wait on the Lord will do what? They'll renew their strength. And then all the different ways that that's manifested. How many of you need your strength renewed? How many of you need a deeper rest in your life? How many believe it's there? Are you beginning to understand what the issue is? Go look in the mirror and say, if I have a heart of rest, God didn't give it to me. I can't blame the devil. Jesus had to deal with the devil and he had rest. How did he do that? Well, he was aligned at all points with his Father. He said, I didn't come to do my will, I came to do his. And so at every point, it was, God, Father, what do you want me to do? I have no agenda here, no dog in this hunt. Lord, Father, I'm here to do your will. Help me to be just surrendered and aligned with you and trusting in your strength to be able to do what you want me to do. At every point, he was just connected to his Father. His will, his mind, his actions, every part. That's what the Lord wants us to learn from him. The more we do that, the more we're going to be what he wants us to be in this broken world, to one another, to people outside. As long as the Lord's got us here, he has a reason. Yes, sir. He made you and me with a purpose. There's not a single person in this place is an accident. You were made by a gracious God on purpose who loves you and has an eternal purpose for your heart. But right now he's got you here, got me here. Yeah, there are battles. Yes, it's a tough world. But he's right here with us. And he longs to bring us to a place where we can have, in spite of everything that's going on around us, we can still have a rest in here. Because we're in harmony with him. And I'll tell you, God's looking for that kind of a person. But think of what he offers us. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Is that you tonight? Well, he's inviting you. What are you carrying tonight? Bring it to him. You know, like the old gospel song, take it to the Lord. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Some of you remember that one. Here's Libera. I know she knows them all. Absolutely. Praise God. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take it. He's not saying, I'm going to impose this on you and force you to do. No, he wants a willing heart that says, God, I want to be connected to you. My safety is being connected to you and surrendered to your will. I'm not safe trusting myself. It doesn't work. Oh, that's the hardest thing in the world, to find the grace to realize what our real problem is. And what God, the lengths God is willing to go to take somebody like me and refurbish me, refit me, change me completely, replace the old me with a new me, and make me able to walk with him in a totally different world. Man, that's worth everything, isn't it? God wants us to go out of here with a deeper sense of rest, but not just the rest like an experience, a passing experience. He wants this to become more of a characteristic of our lives because we learn how it happens. We learn how Jesus managed to stay in a place of rest. How did that happen? He spent time with his Father. He walked with him. He sought his will. He did it. He trusted his Father in everything, and he understood that the supply of the Spirit that he needed to do what he did came from his Father. He said, it's the Father in me doing the works. Well, Christ wants to be the source of our strength and the source of all that we are. He is able to share that same life that was in him with us. That's what gives us the power to be something that we are otherwise not and could never be. Take my yoke. That's a voluntary thing upon you. Learn from me. That's the school of hard knocks. That's not a classroom. For I am gentle and humble in heart. And what a positive promise. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, praise God. This world's burden is nothing like this. It'll give you burdens, all right, but it's nothing like this. And I don't care what you achieve here. It's going up in flames. And your life will be gone. But everything that we do in him, peace is going to reign with us forever. Love, joy, peace are the first three of the fruits of the Spirit. They're going to be with us forever. Do you think there will ever be any disharmony in the new creation? Perfect harmony. We hardly even know how to describe that. We are so full of disharmony in this world, we can't even imagine what that must be like to be in perfect harmony. Every need met. Fulfilling the purpose for which we were designed in the first place. That's what God longs for every person here, starting with me, to experience in a deeper way. Do you want that tonight? Praise God. Then we're going to have to do what he says here. Come to him. You feel you got a burden weighing you down? Learn how, by faith, to bring it to him. Realize he means you. If you're weary and burdened, he just says, all who are weary and burdened. Are you part of all? Yeah, so am I. This is simple stuff, isn't it? I mean, how many times have we heard this scripture? But have we heard it? Have we really heard it? God wants us to hear it with our hearts and say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to let go of my way and just put myself in your hands and learn. And I thank you for the rest and the peace that you're going to increasingly impart to my heart. And I pray that other people will see it and experience that, taste it, and they'll want what I have, because it isn't a what, it's a who. Praise God. I'll tell you, the Lord is so faithful to us. Think about, he's looking for hearts, but he's longing to give every single one of us a deep rest in our souls. You a candidate for that tonight? Praise God. Well, we have his promise, don't we?
I was thinking, as Phil was sharing tonight, you know, in the natural realm, when you think about peace, or people think about peace or trying to acquire it, usually equates to power of some form. You know, the more power I can get, whether that's military and I can control enough around me, or maybe it's money, and if I can, you know, buy enough to know I've got everything I need and I have everything insured, and you know, there's some sort of control is how people see peace. The more control I get, the more peace I have. But in the Christian life, it's the exact opposite. We're surrendering control to the one who truly is in control, and that's where our peace comes from. That's why this peace is available to anybody, no matter who you are, and you don't have to be mighty, and you don't have to be rich. This peace is available for anybody. You know, even David, King David, one time, he got into he's kind of a little bit like what you talked about with Asa the other night. He wanted to know how many fighting men he had, his soldiers, you know. He wanted to get a census, almost as though he were sort of taking his comfort from how big their army was. Okay, well, everything's fine. We've got a big army. I know how many people we have. And God was very displeased with that, because it was much like the lesson with Asa there. He's like, I'm your deliverance, not your army, not how big that is. I'm your deliverance. And I believe he wants to make that real to every one of us, that he is our safety. He's our security. He's our peace, and he is our rest. And I thought about just this one scripture I wanted to share. It's in Isaiah 9. We know it very well. It's the prophecy about Christ being born, there, Christ coming. But in verse 6 in Isaiah 9, he says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." You know, it's interesting. It says the government is on his shoulders, but then it talks about an increase of his government. And there's a sense, I think, in which that's talking about eternity, because as we reign with him forever, we're going to learn more and more about him. There's going to be a greater joy there. But I tell you what, I think a lot of it has to do with what we're talking about here tonight. The increase of his government here brings peace. Of the increase of his peace, they're directly proportional. The more his government is taking place, the greater that peace is. And that's available for every one of us here tonight, no matter who we are, because we got the same wonderful God. And he's our peace. Praise God. I thought about that song. He is our peace. It was broken down every wall. He is our peace. Praise God. This has been a blessing tonight. It's encouraged me.